Blog Talk Radio.
All praise the magnificent name of the Lord. Hello, friends, and welcome back to the second edition of Finishing with the International Ambassador. Come, let's go back into that service.
I wondered, Lord, if I do that, then they're going to lie on me and say I'm trying to start a new denomination and everything else. I knew that, you know, having wisdom that the Lord has given to me. I knew that they would lie on me. I knew they would say, you heard, he trying to split this. And try. I knew that. But you can't let people, when God gives you an assignment, you cannot let people discourage you. Just listen to the voice of the Lord. And you just got to do. You got to close your eyes and have tunnel vision and go straight forward. Don't care what they say. Don't care what they do. Just do the work of the Lord. That's what Paul said, do the work of the Lord. But you know what? You got to pray for them, because the Bible says that Mother Johnson reminded me of this. Pray for them that despitefully use you, son, because they use Jesus, and they're going to despitefully use you. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Some people try to use you like a dish rag. They entered into that scripture that talks about usury. They just want you to use you for a purpose of helping themselves, and when they get through using you, they want to throw you away. That's discouragement. Listen, then another thing, the enemy, I'm talking about these weapons in his arsenal that he'll use to keep you from being, from making the journey and keep you from finishing. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm talking about finishing this morning. He'll use church hopping. You got to watch that thing. It's all about keeping you from finishing. He'll put in your spirit flightiness, you know, where you one way this moment, another way that moment, bipolar kind of like attitude. And he won't let you be satisfied with nothing. See, there's no euphorium anywhere in the world. People look for it in a marriage situation, a euphorium. There's not a euphorium. In other words, no perfect situations, no perfect marriages, no perfect relationships, no perfect nothing. You got to remember that here you are, thinking that it's going to be perfect like Ozzy and Harriet and all that kind of stuff. No. There's no perfect nothing. You have to, if you got a good marriage, thank God for it. Amen, but it's not going to be perfect. If you got a good situation, thank God for it. It's not going to be perfect. And you start here and then stop and then go over there and stop. Church hopping. There's no perfect church. Church is a hospital for sick folks. How are you going to have a perfect situation with sick folk in there? Sick folks who have habits, goofball, cocaine, taking aspirin, crack, all in the church, still doing it. Say they've been delivered, they haven't been delivered. Got alcohol they're taking behind closed doors and things like that. But you've got to still keep preaching. You've got to still keep ministering. And you can't get it right for them. They have to get it right for themselves. But you got to preach and put it out there. There's no euphorium, nowhere, and no need to hop. I've noticed something that most time the problem is not with the church. The problem is with the person, because when they leave and go to another church, they got a problem. Just heard the other day, I had a person, I'm wondering if I could tell this, Lord. No, the Lord said don't tell it. So, But I do want to say this, that church hopping is a bad spirit. You will never finish church hopping. Because every time you go to another church, you got to start over again. That church hopping is not a good thing. Sit yourself down, as Mother John says, sit down and learn something. just make yourself sit down and learn something. Stop hopping around here and hopping over here, because probably the problem is that you are the problem, and you've taken the problem someplace else. I can't say it like this without offending somebody. Had some people members of our church, and they used me like a dish rag. Yeah, they did. I knew it while I was being used, but I was remembering that scripture. Pray for them to despitefully use you. Amen. But they hopped to another church, and a problem that they had that hadn't come out totally at our church, but when they got to the other church, it came completely out. And it's all over Facebook, I can say that, and everything else, because known just about several people know it. But I'm saying that church hopping, normally the problem is in you. Sit yourself down and be taught in the name of Jesus. And then that flightiness that I mentioned a while ago changes, just change. Listen, that's of the devil. I'm going to prove it to you in just a moment. I said that's of the devil. When you can't stand steadiness, when you cannot stand steadiness, then it's of the enemy. Many times they're bipolar. They're flighty one way today, another way tomorrow. They can't stand nothing to be the same way all the time. That's flightiness. And it's of the devil. See, the enemy knows that most people cannot stand change. And they make, see, it may not be affecting you, but flightiness affects people around you. Because most people can't stand change. And so the enemy will use you and your flightiness to cause aggravation on people around you. And it's of the devil. I can prove it to you in one statement. God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. God is not a God that changes like that. He's a steady person. You can depend on him today, tomorrow, next year, 15 years from now, in your past, you can depend on him. God is not a flighty person. His spirit is not like that. It has to be the spirit of the devil. God is a steady person. Yeah. If he tells you one thing today, you can depend on it 15 years from now. He's going to do it. It may not come to pass today, but it's going to come to pass in the future. I told you all about a friend of mine. Well, he wasn't a friend of mine. I was a little boy at the time. And Aunt Catherine had a renter in her house, my aunt, who had this renter named Mr. Evans. And Mr. Evans had a girlfriend. He said to Aunt Catherine, he said, "Miss Cofield," said, "my girlfriend, Christine. Now, she crazy, Miss. She crazy, for sure, Miss Cofield, she crazy. But she'll never go to an insane asylum. She's not going to Osawatomie. No, she'll never go." He said, Miss Cofield said, "She won't?" He said, no, ma'am, she will never go to the crazy house." Oh, okay. But he said, "But not one thing." She said, what is that, Mr. Evans?" "She'll run everybody around her to the crazy house because she's crazy." All right. See, that's that flightiness. It will run people to the crazy house around you, but you'll never go because you're flighty. And you have adjusted to that. Then another thing the enemy uses is money shortage. Yeah, you don't have enough money to do this and do that. He does that to you. Although God has the money, he doesn't want you to have the faith to believe it, to get it, because he doesn't want you to finish. It's all about you finishing what has been assigned to you. Then he'll tell lies and deceitfulness all around you to keep you from finishing. Then he'll use the DVD player. Get you to play X-rated movies. Look at pornography. Why? Because it's to keep you from finishing. He doesn't want you to finish. He gets you off on distractions. Yeah, TV shows. Got you looking at killer kids and killer this and killer that. Yeah, to keep you from finishing. Put that in your mind. What you see, what you watch on television, many times you got to be careful. Those things carry spirits, and they try to get in your spirit. Why? They try to keep you from finishing. Let me rush in now. As I say to you, the bottom line always is to keep you from finishing. Because if you finish, that means that you have completed your work that God assigned for you to do. That task means that you're ready for another accomplishment. Doesn't mean that you're getting ready to die. It means that God is going to do something else for you. The enemy wants to stop you from getting that doctorate degree. He wants to keep you from finishing. they'll always say, well, she tried or he tried. No, 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 no. You want to finish. The enemy, when you finish, it means that you hurt Satan's kingdom. That's why he attacks the head, the leaders, because you're hurting Satan's kingdom. Yeah, it means that you've helped to block the enemy's goals. And when you're blocking his goals, he will try everything around you to keep you from finishing. See, it means that you have been successful. He doesn't want you to be successful. It means that you've been more than a conqueror, that you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. He doesn't want you to do all things through Christ. It means that if you finish, it means that you won't fail. That means that you have won. And the enemy doesn't want you to win. If you finish, that means that you have a crown of life waiting for you, according to that scripture I read a while ago. You have a crown of life just waiting for you. I want to close in just a few moments here, but I want you to know that it's important to finish, to run the race always. See, the race is not given to the swift nor to the strong, but the one that endures to the end, the one who finishes. Yeah, yeah. In order to finish, you've got to put on the whole armor of God. What I said a while ago, you got to put on the breastplate of righteousness and the sword of spirit and the helmet of salvation and the shield of faith. That helps you to finish. You got to finish the race. You got to finish it. The enemy doesn't want you to finish that race. Went to the Kentucky Derby, yeah, at Churchill Downs. Thank you, Ambassador Pfeiffer, for that. And I found out that the first, second, and third, and fourth horse in that pack of horses racing, they're called the finishers. They don't even qualify the others as finishers, but the ones who are at the top of the pack are called the finishers. And when referring to books, yeah, the finisher is the person who completes the cover of the book. In music, the finisher is the one who takes the words of the composer, the one who takes the words that the composer has written, and he's the artist who sings those words and finishes the song. In computer, when you look at the computer, the printer would be called the finisher because it takes the work that you put in the computer and puts it out and finishes it. The wrestler, the one who gets the third count in that ring, 1, 2, 3, you're out, that's the finisher. To the trapeze artist, yeah, went to the circus the other day, and the one who was up there, catching the one who swung out, and he caught him, and then took him back and swung them back around, and they caught that trapeze again and swung back up to out of harm's way. That was the finisher. In the mafia, they got a finisher, the one who eliminates people. That's the finisher. The 18-wheeler, the one who finishes running that route is called the finisher. In banking, the finisher up there, the head teller who hands you the money and finishes the transaction, that's the finisher. In the grocery store, the finisher is the one who checks you out and gives you your grocery and you walk out, finishes the transaction. That's the finisher. To the rap music artist, Jay-Z would be considered the finisher because he starts a new idiom. Yeah, yeah, a new style of rap music. And in pop music, Lady Gaga would be considered the finisher. She started a whole new genre. In R&B, Beyonce would be considered the finisher. On the concert, she's the last one who's on. In gospel music, Kirk Franklin, Ty Tribute, all of them, they would be finishers. They finished the concert out. But to the Christian, the finisher is the one who endures to the end. That's the finisher. You got to be the one who endures to the end. Listen, folks, I don't know about you, but I want to be the one who endures to the end. The three Hebrew boys, they were finishers. They didn't bow to the golden image. Job was a finisher. Yeah, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He was a finisher. Daniel in the lion's den, he was a finisher. Paul, who preached the gospel to the Jews and the Gentiles, he was a finisher. Yeah, and Timothy, the one who wrote that, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. He was a finisher. Yeah, the reason why he wrote that is because he was determined that he was going to finish. Yeah, in this text that I read a while ago, Timothy tells us how to finish. He says you must complete You must accomplish. You must carry out. Yeah, you must reach your goal. Don't start a thing and not finish it. You must finalize. You must achieve your goals. Yeah, how do you do it? How do you do it? I got to close. How do you do it? You must fight a good fight. Yeah, fight the good fight. He says, I have fought a good fight. Yeah, you got to keep fighting. Don't let the enemy tell you that you really cannot finish. You got to fight that fight. Yeah, yeah, fight the fight. Matthew 11 and 12 tells us the kingdom of heaven suffered violence. The violent take it by force. There was violence in heaven. Yeah, I told you about it a while ago. The enemy was trying to get folks to praise him and worship him than God. And God sent the angels, and there was violence in heaven. They fought up in heaven, kicked the devil out of heaven. Yeah, you can't let the devil keep you from finishing. You got to fight. I got to hold the phone away from my mouth because I got to get this to you. You got to fight, fight, fight. You got to fight. You got to fight. You got to fight. You can't let the devil defeat you. You got to fight. You got to fight. You got to finish. You got to finish. Secondly, you must. That's the second point. Not only fight, but you got to fight to the finish. Don't go halfway. Fight to the finish. Yeah, yeah, Timothy says, I have fought a good fight, but I have finished my course. Yeah, remember that fight between Roberto Duran and Sugar Ray Leonard? Oh, my God, they fought so. Oh, but when the fight was over, Duran was criticized because he said, no mas, which means no more, no more. And so they figured since he said no mas that he was giving up the fight. But no, he wasn't giving up because, see Duran, he wanted to fight just blow after blow, but Sugar Ray Leonard was dancing around the room, the ring. He kept dancing. Sugar Ray just kept on dancing to the right and to the left, dodging and dancing. Roberto wanted to fight. He's a fighter. And so he said, no mouth. I'm tired of Sugar Ray just dancing. He doesn't want to fight. He just want to dance. And so he was criticized. Listen, I'm telling you, no matter what the fight is, I don't care what the devil does to you, don't say no mouth because he wants to think that you're saying that I'm giving up. You can't give up. No mouth. No. You cannot give up. You've got to keep fighting. Then you must keep the faith. Not only must you fight a good fight, not only must you finish the fight, but thirdly, in closing, you got to keep the faith. Yeah, you got to keep the faith. See, Evander Holyfield and Mike Tyson fought May 28th, 2012. There's noted all around the world because Mike Tyson was known as the knockout champ. Nobody could get Mike. I mean, he had one left hook, that blow, he catch him, boom, and you out, falling out of the ring, and it wasn't no more. When he hit you, it was over. But see, we got in the ring with Evander Holyfield, and he threw off the left hook. It didn't catch him. He tried it again, didn't catch Evander. Kept on trying to fight Evander. See, Mike Tyson was known to take people out in the first round, at least by the second. He couldn't get past, nobody knew what he could do past the second round. But now, here it is, the eighth round, and Evander Holyfield was hitting Mike. Boom, 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 left hook, right hook. And Mike couldn't catch him. He couldn't catch him. He was trying with all his might. He couldn't catch him. And so they got in a clinch. That means that they were hugged up together, and the referee was supposed to come and take them, you know, tell them, break it up. Well, here they are hugged up together. He was trying to rest while he was hugging Evander Holyfield. And since Mike could not knock him out, Mike left the faith. I'm talking about keeping the faith. That's the third thing. He left the faith. Not only must you fight a good fight, not only must you finish the fight, but you must keep the faith. Mike Tyson left the faith. How do you mean he left the faith, Dr. Johnson? He had no other alternative, he thought. That ear was up there, and Mike Tyson bit off the ear of Evander Holyfield. Fighters all around the world said, this is terrible. This is awful. This is awful. Awful. This is not what we're about. See, losing the faith means you're not about what God taught us to be about. You're not telling people that there's only one true and holy and only one true and righteous, true God. Yeah, and there is his son, Jesus Christ, the only begotten son. See, you're off on some tangent over here. They're teaching this, they're teaching that. Stay with the faith. Don't lose your faith. Stay with it. Stay with Jesus. He'll never fail you. Yeah, he may not come when you want him, but he'll be on time. Stay with the faith. Let me close with this story here. I told it the other day. I'm going to tell it again. One of my preacher friends in Texas, he was determined, and he was determined to encourage me and other friends of his. And he said, Bernard, I said, yeah, man. He said, Doc, I wrote a poem, a really profound, profound poem. I said, oh, wonderful, man. I didn't know you wrote poems. He said, yeah, I wrote this one. I'm not a poem writer, but I got a profound poem that makes you think, man. I said, all right. He said, you want to hear it? Yeah, I want to hear it. He said, it's called Go On. G-O-O-N. Go On. I said, all right, I want to hear it. He said, well, let me give you the first stanza. It goes like this. Oh, I said, all right. He said, go on, go on, go on, go on, go on. I said, okay, well, what's the rest of it? He said, that's the first stanza. I said, that's the first stanza? He said, yeah. I said, well, what's the second stanza? Okay, he said, the second stanza goes like this. Go on, go on, go on, go on, go on. I said, what? He said, yeah, that's it. I said, well, what's the third stanza, man? Third stanza goes like this. Go on, go on, go on, and on. And on, and on, and on. I said, all right, all right, all right, all right. Well, now, what is the fourth stanza? Here's the fourth stanza. Go on, 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 go on. At that time, I was holding my side laughing. I said, man, you told me this was a profound poem. He said, it is. And he walked off from me. About that time, I was thinking, you know, thinking. And it suddenly dawned on me that this was profound, that he was trying to tell me, finish. Yeah, finish. Regardless of what comes on you, go on, finish. Regardless of what people say about you, you got to finish. Regardless of what they do to you, you got to finish. I told you the other day about how they wrote me a letter from the seminary. I ran out of money. I had to decide whether we were going to let our church go under, God's bride go under, or whether I was going to support my second doctorate at the seminary. They wrote me a letter. They told me, Dr. Johnson, you haven't paid your bill. And we're taking you out of the doctoral program. Some of y'all think that you can't be hurt. Some of y'all think that I can't be hurt. I'm human just like everybody else. That hurt me. It really hurt me. It meant that I wasn't going to be able to finish. But the Lord heard my cry. And just two or three days ago, I think it was Monday, one of my friends from Texas came here and said, I want to see you, Bernard. I went over, told him. He said, how you doing? I said, I'm doing fine. Didn't want to tell him any trouble. He said, how you doing at the school? I said, I got all A's, 4.0 average. They wrote me a letter and told me that they were taking me out of the program. He said, what? I said, yes, sir. And I'm on the board over there. He said, don't worry. Why did they do that? I said, because I couldn't pay. I owe them $2,200, and I couldn't pay it. And I just put God's bride above everything else. He said, I'm going over tomorrow, and I'm going to pay that $2,200 for you. Yeah. Before I knew it, tears started coming out of my eyes.
I have not tears of sorrow, but tears of sorrow. Not everything I could, but it looked like I could. pressure. You gotta finish. No matter what. We need to finish. You gotta finish. My invitation to you. Lord, I am going to fight a good fight. I'm going to fight a good fight. Nevertheless, Lord, I am going to keep the faith. Not only what I believe in, and that is you, God, as the only true living God, and your Son, as the Son of God. And thirdly, Lord, I'm going to finish. Just make that commitment to God by yourself. I'm going to finish. Whatever it takes, I'm going to finish. I touch you. I love you. And when I have time this morning, let me just give you my phone number. If anybody, I'm always open up for encouragement. If anybody wants to encourage me, you got my number.
913. In fact, why don't we do it this way? Tomorrow. If y'all want to encourage me tomorrow, I'll give you a space on tomorrow to finish. Don't forget, tonight, at 7 p.m., we have the youth prayer line. It's been wonderful. Amen. Be a part of the youth prayer line. 7 o'clock. Amen. You'll be there Tuesday with Ambassador Eleanor Pfeiffer. Tonight, our hostess is Ambassador-elect Gina Hodges. Be there at 7 o'clock tonight. God bless you.
Dr. Johnson.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. Keep the faith.
Dr. Johnson.
And General stepped out of the Mercedes-Benz and walked over to the white coach and opened the door. And that was the president of Kenya who stepped out. And that night, I played for the president. And somebody said, Dr. Johnson, I know you were honored, and you were thrilled to play for the president of Kenya. I said, yes, I was honored, but I wasn't thrilled. They said, why would you not be thrilled to play for this man who's like a king here in this country? I said, well, he might be like a king here, and I honor him as the president of this country. But you see, I blow for the king, too.
Today, I pray that you give them a special, awesome blessing.
Thank you, Lord.
Just glory to God.
Thank you, Lord.
God bless all of y'all. Have a wonderful day.
You do the same.